Yeah.
Okay, so for those of you who are not here today, this is Sue Painter, and this is the June 23rd, if you can believe it, the second meeting of the CEO Circle for the month of June. And this is our really ask anything, let's work on what you need to work on meeting. And sometimes I ask a question or teach a little bit. So we'll see. Oh, here comes Elaine. Hang on just a sec. And so we'll see what's up with everybody and where the conversation needs to go today. So for those of you who are not here, by the way, Nadine Hamilton, you keep saying you're going to get up in the middle of the night and join us one time. So I hope that you do, and we'll get to, I'll see you here, but I understand why you don't want to do that because it's, you're fast asleep on the other side of the world. Hey, Elaine, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Doing okay. So this is ask anything, talk about anything. And I'm a little bit drawn to talk today about what is it that you have in your business or maybe in your personal life that's affecting your business that you, what are your doubts right now? Like, what are the things that you're thinking, I really kind of want to do this, but I feel doubtful, which is, you know, I feel like maybe I can't, or maybe I don't want to, or maybe the stars aren't aligned right. Does that bring up anything for any of you?
Of course, me. And mine is just like, you know, I mean, I'm still, you know, working out what it is that I want to be doing, but it's just like, I've been away so long. I've been quiet so long. I haven't been marketing. Is it weird? Is, you know, and probably nobody cares, but, you know, those doubts are in there. And once I do figure it out in my mind, I think like, because of it's been this long period, you know, I want to come out with this big, here's my new brand. And that is isn't going to happen. I know already, like, you know, I don't, so that's what's going on in my head.
Well, okay. So let me give you my read on that thing, that situation. I have seen numerous online entrepreneurs who have, for various reasons, really laid low during the pandemic. Sometimes they were sick, and or mm-hmm. sometimes they actually lost a family member. I mean, there's many, many mm-hmm. different reasons. Sometimes they, like you, lost their business completely, and it really was devastating after having spent so many years building a business up, and it made them doubt whether what they were doing was going to work for them going forward, or even if they wanted to invest themselves in something that they never thought they would lose. And then lo and behold, they lost it because all of this was so devastating to the world. So you're not by far the only one I've heard talk about those things. And I am also seeing people now coming and saying, I haven't been in touch for a while. And nobody seems to be doing the big mega launch of this is what I've turned into while I've been quiet mm-hmm. away. Everybody is, I'm still trying to figure this out, but I wanted to touch base. So I don't feel like you're going to be, quote, dinged. Here he is at my front door every time I have this meeting. He'll be gone in a minute. I don't feel like you're going to be dinged for not having to have a full launch of a brand. Maybe mm-hmm. for you, the part of the doubt that you can start to parse out and settle is, what is it that I feel like I'm going to move to? And how can I start thinking about that for myself and then deciding what it is that I feel like I want to aim toward or offer to clients? And is that going to mean a completely new client base for me, or is it going to mean being able to offer something new to my existing client base? Mm-hmm. Those are the things in my head I would think about in your shoes. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's reassuring. And I mean, I kind of thought like, this is unrealistic and what's going on in my head. It's probably not true, but it is good to get that out and then to get reassurance about that. And then I guess the other thing, since I'm on, I'll mention like that potential retreat client ghosted me, which is so weird because like I know her, you know, and so I didn't and that was like what I was feeling, you know, how I got the idea to put my group and re-record it and package it. And so I didn't have a rush reason to do that. And the, I guess the doubts I have around that, just to recap it, it's a, the content for what was a live group coaching program to DIY your event or retreat, which obviously has nothing in it about COVID and nothing in it about virtual events. And are either of those, if it's lacking that, it, do you think that that's an issue? Or as long as I'm clear that that's not in there, then it's okay. And I mean, I thought like the COVID thing, I think is easy to skirt because you can say like, this is evolving every second and it depends on what city, what country, what state you live in. Yeah. But you know, so many people are doing virtual and it's, and I don't want to include that. I don't want to do that. I could maybe find somebody else that offers that and package it together. But I think, is that just me again with my, well, I don't know.
No, there's way more energy toward what does it take to do a live event post COVID. Way more energy. I see way more about that than I do about, oh, let's keep having virtual events. I don't see much about that. People are like up to here with it. And so I think actually you could carve a niche of, okay, you're wanting to get back into a live event and maybe your business has been down. You're not wanting to have, you're not wanting to create a budget or having someone run the event for you. How do you start with a small live event and most of it is DIY, or here's how you work with your team to make it the DIY event. I could see that there would be a market for that. I really could, because I hear a lot of talk about that.
Yeah. So it could be, it wouldn't be hard for me to record it. Do you think that if I record it, I should record it on video or audio?
I would do video. Okay. And then I would also have an audio, an MP3 and a transcript.
Okay.
Because that is valuable to people. I mean, I know when I buy video, I also want to be able to transcribe the video or the audio because I can go through and make notes. I'm just old fashioned that way. But I hear a lot of people who want to do that too.
Yeah.
So that makes it attractive. I think you can offer a little bit better price point if you offer it all three ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that expensive. You can anyway pull your MP3 right off of your video, and then you can use Rev to do artificial intelligence transcript, and then you'll have to clean it up a little bit, but it won't be that expensive for you.
Right. Any ideas about pricing?
Tell us all a little bit about the components and how like beefy it's going to be.
Yeah, it's beefy. I mean, the part that would be lacking, of course, will be the live, you know, Q&A. but it really tells you everything you need to know to plan your live event. It includes templates. A big piece of it is how to do your budget. There's a budget template for event and retreat. I have like a profit, what I called like profit map thing, where you figure out, because so many people go, I want to do an event, and they don't think about how they're going to make money, and then they lose money. So we think about that, and it's either module 2 or module 3, you know, how to really engage. It's a complete comprehensive program. I sold the group, it was 6 modules. I think the last time I lit it, I might have, it was an 8 or 9 week program because we had break weeks for just coaching. I sold it for $1,000. You know, everybody was like, you could sell it for 2, you could sell, but I was never really able to do that. So I sold it as a live experience for $1,000.
Okay. So you're talking about 8 modules, 8 videos?
6. Well, it's 6 okay. modules, but it probably would be easier for people if I broke it into smaller, because some of those modules contained a lot, you know, and our calls would be like 2 hours, you know, so it could be, as many modules as I want to make it, really.
What I'm thinking, and I'd love to hear Mariah and Chrissy's input to this too, but what I'm thinking is I would sit down with all of that on a list of paper, and I would see how I could break it up. And maybe you're going to have a beginner's project. Maybe you're going to have two or three products. Mm. Maybe you're going to have, here's the budget part, mm-hmm. here's the blah part, here's the marketing part, here's the monetizing part. And maybe you're going to have it all, maybe they can buy all of it for one money, or they can buy whatever they want. And the other thing is, if you don't have, the whole question going live and answering questions, here's one thing you can do that I do, and I have had, I bet 100 people tell me how much they love this. I take the questions that I get when I teach something, mm-hmm. and I transcribe them from the Q&A call, and I put them in a Q&A FAQ document with the question and then my answer. And I add that as a bonus to the product, and people love it. I've had people tell me that was worth more than the whole rest of the product. And it would be easy enough for you to do because you've got tons of questions and answers from when you've run it before. So make that a bonus.
Yeah, I like that, Sue. And then it could maybe be like each, if I really niche each piece, I don't know, maybe they're like $97 each, and then there's a bundle, and then I could probably sell the entire bundle would probably be higher than I might price it if I was just selling it at one rate. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm showing the value by having all the individuals.
Yeah, I mean, and make sure you know how to do this because you're a good copywriter, but you know, they're getting the video, they're getting the audio, they're getting the transcripts, they're getting checklists, they're getting mound maps or whatever all the stuff is. It sounds like you've got a lot of content in there. So, but I would map it out and do something. Probably my thinking would be it's $127 for each of the components, or you can bundle it up and get each bundle for, $97 each or something. Give them, make it a sweet spot and then sell the bundle cheaper. And of course, then the bonus would be the Q&A, or maybe you have other bonus things too that you want to throw in there. I don't know, but I think it's viable, and I think it's viable now. I think you need to get it out before the end of summer because people are really wanting to do that. People are hungry for live again. I'm betting Allie doesn't have trouble filling her event because people are hungry for live. She says she has 80 seats. We'll see how that goes. But anyway.
And do you think that I have to have a platform to house it? Because I always just did like Dropbox or Google Drive and nothing fancy.
Well, you could just have it. You could have it all loaded up to Amazon S3 and then give people the download links, for each one. You're talking about a membership site to house it on?
No, I mean, people are used to fancy, things where you log in and get the this and this and that. And I've always just used Google Drive or Dropbox. Is Amazon different than those?
Well, Amazon S3 is a data storage. It's where I have all my websites backed up. And when you download a PDF from me, then it's actually uploaded into Amazon S3, and then I make a pretty link because there's this big, long, ugly link. And that's just where I have all my documents and things because it's very cheap storage. But you could do it in a Google Drive, or you could do it, you could do it as Dropbox. You could certainly do that. If it's a big product, I might have it on a page on my website with all the download links and kind of make it where people can go back to that link over and over again and download it if they need it. But that wouldn't be all that hard to put up. I'm not talking about like behind Kajabi or behind something like that.
Okay.
I think that's an expense that maybe you don't need right now. Kind of see where it goes and what's next for you, and then maybe in time.
Yeah. Okay.
Christy and I both use Member Vault, and that's pretty cost effective. And I like Member Vault a lot, and I think Christy does too. She can speak to that. But so does that help you feel like you have less doubt about like what's the next for you? Okay.
Thank you.
Who else has doubt? Let's talk about doubts. that seemed like a fertile topic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do. I certainly have doubts.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. And in my earlier life, I used to produce things all the time. I mean, for 30 years. And I always expected people to come and to fill it up. And you know, I had a lot of success. That was what I expected. And I don't have that mindset anymore. It's not just because of COVID. I mean, I think since I changed to a totally different world, my world was about movement, Feldenkrais, massage therapy, dance, that whole giant umbrella for a long, long time, for decades.
Yeah.
And so I knew how to do that, and people, I was known for that, and it was all about local, and I was very well known locally. So, you know, it was just, that's just what I expected, and that's what happened. So I'm having a lot of trouble just believing in my offers these, but I think that COVID definitely made it worse, just because of so much inactivity. And although actually I used that time to build a whole new website, and I mean, I used the time well. I'm proud of what I did during that time. I wrote a new ebook and a bunch of other things. But so here's what's happening right now. Could I share my screen for a minute?
Yes. Let me see if I can, participants. Hang on.
It's not necessary.
Okay, I'm going to make you a co-host so that you can share your screen. Okay.
Yep. So let me share this. I pulled it up. I don't see it now. Where'd it go? Oh, you don't have it up. That's why. Okay. Now share that. Come on. Sarah. Well, let me start over because it's not working for me.
Yeah. Oh. It's there.
You see it? Oh, okay, good. It didn't behave like usual. So this is the latest thing of sort of like, in a way, I thought of it as a sequence of workshops. What does that mean, workshop? Still to be defined. Could be as short as a 2-hour one-time workshop, or it could be like each one of these could be a series of 3 or 4 workshops. Mm-hmm. And so it has been brought to my attention that these, I think that each of these workshops would be great on their own. I know they could be helpful to a lot of people, but they don't flow one to the other as far as what you couldn't say after the first one, what's the logical next step?
Got it. Yeah.
Oh, the logical next step is the second one. I mean, I could make that connection between the first and the second, but I think it's, well, let me say what I know about these things. So now what? The 6 keys to reinventing yourself. So this is, first of all, I love to work with envisioning with people, and with all my clients, my one-on-one clients, we always start with vision because I don't know how to move forward until I know what they're really, you know, aiming for. And most of the time people don't have a very clear vision, it's, as it turns out. So this would be a way for me to work with vision for people, but kind of in a context of what I think a lot of people are dealing with right now, which is they've come out of COVID. They've rethought a lot of stuff because of what happened during that year and 15, 16, 18 months off. And so I think it's a good time for an envisioning process. So that's kind of the first thing that, and I'm excited about the prospect of doing that. And I've done a lot of work along these lines. So I have some pretty tried and true, you know, exercises and things that people can work on their own, and a lot of interesting content. So it would be good. The second one is get your words right, craft a crystal clear story to win new followers. So that's all about words. It's about language, and specifically kind of wrapped up in the framework of telling your story, which is one of the main emphases of my website, is telling your story. And this particular course is, could be like a 4-part course, and it's already pretty much framed up. The last two things, or the middle two, repurpose, rinse, repeat, it's about using your content again and again. And that's more like a quick thing. just some ideas on how to take what you've already done and pull it back out again. And I think there's just so many good ideas around about that. And I have my own ideas, and I could draw from other ideas that are published in various places just to, and so this is more like a skill set, I think. I guess you could say getting your words right and repurposing. Those are both kind of practical skill sets.
They go together.
Yeah. And the follow-up piece really just happened because one of my clients is making a transition from being a, she's like the head of the Oakland City Arts money dispersal department. You know, she's in charge of giving out money to artists in Oakland, California. And so, but she's developing something else on the side. And we've been working on that for about a year. And so she doesn't have very much. She is a brilliant woman, and she doesn't have very much experience with business at all. So when we were talking one day, I realized she doesn't really know the principles of follow-up.
Right.
Because she doesn't have to use them in what she does.
Yeah.
Everyone else follows up with her. She doesn't have to follow up with them. So we scheduled a talk, and we just talked about follow-up for an hour. And then when I got off of that, I was like, I better write this right now. You know, so I just wrote it all down. And then I thought, well, this is either an article for a Medium or it's a course, you know, like a little short workshop. And so I'm not sure these people, that these all go to the same people. Maybe they do.
I think number one and number four could be related. And I think two and three could be related.
Okay.
And perhaps your number five, the Be Heard Mastermind, you could perhaps craft it for people who have reinvented themselves, know their story, want to know how to continue to use their content and do good follow-up so that they're continually heard.
Mm-hmm.
Your mastermind could perhaps hold all of that, I think.
That's where I want to go with it. That is definitely the end goal.
Now, one thing that just came to me when you were talking, it's kind of out of the blue, but this number one, the six keys to reinventing yourself, you're going to offer that over and over again, probably over a period of years. But for right now, in the moment, this title came to me of cracking your COVID cocoon.
That's good.
Like, how do you get out again after, you know, after you've been all cocooned up and haven't been reaching out? I think people, like the other day, for the first time in probably 14 or 15 months, I met a local entrepreneur. We went and had coffee and introduced ourselves to each other and talked. And I've done that. I mean, I've done that literally probably over 1,000 times in my career. It's like falling off a log.
Mm-hmm.
When I got up that morning, I thought, my God, you know, I've got to dress and I better put on lipstick and I've got to, you know, kind of have my mind focused about how do we want to meet each other? How can we be of best value to each other? And somehow or another, because it was going to be live instead of on Zoom, it put me in a real different framework and I had to almost remind myself how to act again.
It's kind of weird.
And I felt weird about it. I mean, it worked out fine. And, you know, I'd do it again tomorrow without a thought. But it did make me pause. You know, oh, I've got to think about parking. And, how early do I want to get there? And, you know, will there be a table? And blah, blah, all that stuff. So it is funny kind of getting back in that space. But more to your point, any of these, you could make them as short or as long as you wanted, because I know you well enough to know you have a wealth of content that you could put in any of them. But I agree with you. I think two and three are kind of short and quick and more skill oriented, whereas one and four and five are really not skill oriented. They are growth and mindset oriented more than tool oriented, I guess I would say. Does that help you at all?
Very definitely. So one of the feedbacks I got from a trusted friend is, am I just trying to reach business people, or am I also open to reaching other people? Because I'm saying in there, alter the course of your life.
Right. it doesn't really personal growth. So you have to decide the target market.
So it's just about deciding. Well, you know, my experience with working with most of my clients, of course, are in small businesses, are moving in that direction. And everybody has mindset issues.
Yeah.
It's for not. Sure.
I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. Yeah.
That's right. How to deal with doubt. So, right.
So I think, so one of the things I'm thinking about for you is one of the reasons you have doubt about, first of all, you're used to a very tactile, intimate, personal livelihood. I used to have that livelihood too. I completely get what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. You get it. Yeah. Of course you do.
And so it's totally different when you're in the online world. But you're going to solve your doubt by, first of all, feeling really good about who do you want to teach this to? Are you just going to open it to anybody? Are you going to say it's for business owners? And also, how do you write your copy and how do you reach out online where you feel that intimacy? That's one reason I love this meeting, and I feel like I'm almost sitting across the desk from all of you. Mm-hmm. So you have to build in your delivery mechanism in ways that feel intimate and personal to you, but also your clients are going to buy because they also are looking for that feel.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point. You know, this is the reason I want to do masterminds of the many possible things I could do. Because I like the intimacy, and I that's why I wanted to be in this group, because I like that intimacy. And, you know, like the rest of you, I've been on God knows how many calls where there's hundreds of people from all over the world, and that's exciting, but that's not exactly where I'm at right now.
And I think some of that is the subtleties of how to use a virtual platform well. I think you are going, you and Elaine, and actually Christy, probably you as well, you are going to kind of innately have the skills of making it feel warm and intimate and closed, because that you've dealt with people in that way out in the real world, not, you know, outside of the online or virtual world. Mm-hmm. You know how to keep the group warmed up and small and personalized. And you know that in order to use Zoom effectively, you can't talk at people. You have to engage and talk with people. Mm-hmm. And that is what is going to most replicate the idea or the feel of when you had someone in your body work room.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That makes sense to you?
Oh, it makes very good sense. And that's really good stuff to think about. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. You're welcome. If you unshare your screen, sharing, I guess it's called your screen.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. Christy, do you have things you want to talk about doubt-wise?
Oh, I have lots of doubts. No, I mean, it's all good. So I love this whole conversation because I also see a common theme of how do we scale post-COVID? Is kind of what I keep hearing, because I think I agree with what Mariah, you were saying. I think intimacy and people we're starved for connection, but we want valuable, intimate, worth my time connection, as opposed to, you know, I just ran across something the other day and I can't believe anyone's still doing this, but it said, you know, 10 days, 100 speakers, you know, I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, that doesn't compute in my brain. I'm like, why would I want to do that? And how many hours is that? And whatever. So I think Allie Brown is kind of right the way I've seen her position that, like, people are ready to connect, but they want it on a smaller level. I think we've all reevaluated not only what is our energy leading us towards, but how do we want to shift, and how do we just want the best out of our life versus just to get by? And I don't know, Elaine, if you struggle with that, but I know I do. It's like, I don't want to just get by. I want to be meaningful. Like, I want my impact to be something that gives me joy and also fits with my new lifestyle. You know, what's that going to look like? And so I think for me, the doubt I have. So I've been talking about, I was going to do that low end course is what we talked about last time.
Yeah.
As opposed to a live Q&A and everything. Okay. So I even am going one step further. I think I'm just going to do it free as a lead gen and make it a real small, high value, but not a lot of work on my part, and use it for lead gen. So that was what I was doubting. I was going back and forth. Is it wrong not to charge any money, or is it okay to do it for free for lead gen and then do a membership group that's like $100 a month, because my people who want what they want will pay that because they know they're going to get extremely high content and value, and then have my third higher end one-on-one. So I guess that's my doubt. I keep going back and forth. Do I do free lead gen, or do I charge even, you know, a slightly nominal fee for that?
Yeah. So there's pros and cons to both of those options. If you decide to use that for lead gen, then I want you to really think about the process that you're going to use to take a person from that very valuable piece of lead gen into, I guess, what you really want them to aim toward is your membership site. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to just, so your value ladder is then going to be this course that is a big piece of lead gen, and then your membership site. And then from there, your higher end individual stuff. If you have something that is, so you could do that. You need to kind of set expectations at the beginning that this is going to lead to a follow-on offer of becoming part of this community. And you can hedge some of your, you know, you can put that in your copy, but also you can put that some in your teaching so that you're aiming people toward the fact that they're in this because they're looking for community anyway. So there's ways to kind of think about that copy-wise and content-wise. If instead, if that would work. The other model is charging for it. And if you charge for it, then you're going to need to have some kind of free little lead gen at the beginning of that, so that you've got something free that leads onto your value ladder. I'm of two minds, honestly. If it's something that is more than about two meetings, I think people don't follow through when it's free and it's that big of a course. And I'd love to hear everybody else's opinion on that too. So I might restructure it, or tell me a little bit about, would it be like a one-time meeting, or would it be like, I mean, I wouldn't do a 6-week free thing, because I think you're going to lose you're going to lose participation, and you're not going to be able to generate enough emotionality and desire for what your follow-on offer is going to be. I think it's going to have to be almost like a real, like a webinar or a series of two things within a week. I don't know. Like, tell me how you could structure that.
Yeah, I was, that's what I've been doubting in my head, but I kind of landed on maybe it's a one-time webinar or three very short videos, like 3 10-minute little teachings, and then a mini workbook or something. Very short, and just really giving them a taste and an overview of, if you love this content and love where we're going, this is why the membership is good for you.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking, because I am going to have my free opt-in offer where they get this I forget what I called it now. Oh, the quiz. So I'm going to have that quiz up there that they can kind of take a quiz. Where are you at on your success path? Mm-hmm. But then this first step is, if they're confused about where they're at, they could opt into this free course, which would be very small.
Yeah. Let's see what others have to say. I'm thinking that you do something really brief, and maybe you open the cart, and then you close the cart to your membership, and maybe you do that quarterly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. For me personally, it has to be short. I mean, I don't know what's going on out there. I see a lot of people doing like traditional challenges. I've signed up for some, and I haven't participated in any of them. And
Right.
So, you know, I'm on the extreme scale of like, I haven't really been working, right? So I'm not the target, I guess, but I'm like you, Christy. I see somebody doing a summit and I just like want to puke. It's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Right. So I think with everybody's capacity right now, shorter is better.
Shorter is better. And it also feels more personal. And that's what people are looking for, you know, is the more intimate personal feel. And I don't know, sometimes I think opening a cart quarterly is a pain in the butt. You have to judge that, especially given your life and how you're going to be moving. I mean, you may think, I'm going to do this once and I'm going to close the cart and then I'll see. And if it's successful, I'll wait and I'll only open the cart twice a year. But in the meanwhile, you're going to have to keep warming people up and letting them know when this is coming again and when your cart is going to be open again. You know, you have to build that anticipation. So that's a little bit of a different type of copy or business model, but it's certainly personal to do. I've been through the thing where I thought I was going to open a cart quarterly. And, you know, I blinked and that quarter was back around again. And I was kind of like, oh man, that's, I don't want to be doing that. My calendar was too full of launch stuff. So twice a year kind of worked better for me. But I think everybody, I'm just thinking about the other things going on with you when you're facing a move and all that.
Well, I don't know what everybody is feeling and thinking out there. You know, I don't feel like I've got my finger on the pulse at all, but I can share what my own response is to things, which has changed in the last year and a half. There's no doubt about it. I wanted to look at something that I bought from somebody about writing copy. And I was expecting, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 modules or, you know, I thought, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll just, you know, I felt this sort of dread of opening up and getting into it because like, oh, it's just so much, you know, but I've got, you know, I bought it. I know she's good. Let me go check it out. I'll at least get my toe wet. And I opened it up and it was just like a video that introduced everything. It wasn't very long, like 10-minute video. And then there was some spread and she introduced all the things that I was going to be able to use in which were spreadsheets. And it was actually about repurposing content. And this and that, you know, it was just like some handouts, but that, you know, real practical. And there wasn't a whole lot, you know, it was a small thing. And I felt so relieved.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. I get it. And I don't have to even come back, you know. I'm just
the price of that, Mariah. What was the price of that?
I think it was 27. Okay. Something in that vein.
So you didn't really feel ripped off that it was brief.
No, I didn't. I was relieved that it was brief. But it was in the context of I know I didn't spend much on it. And it was a very highly defined topic.
Yeah.
But that was just the way it felt to me. And I've bought a lot of things in this year. I mean, including some very huge comprehensive programs from Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi, for instance. That was the largest one I bought. And I have yet to finish it. And when I think about, I have been through the whole thing quickly once. But I know that I need to go back in again and just drill down in certain areas where I you know, really need the input. But because of the size of it, it's just, I'm really glad that I've got it though.
Yeah.
You know, I do, and I did spend a lot more money on that. And so I feel glad that it's sort of in the bank. You know, I can go use it whenever I want to. It'll still be relevant for a long time. But I wouldn't buy anything like that right now. No way. In fact, everything I've bought in the last 6 months has been something very tiny. Partly because I already spent big money earlier this year. And, you know, I've already got so much valuable stuff sitting in my bank. But also because I just don't want that. I don't want some big comprehensive thing. I want something that's very pinpointed, that's about exactly one thing that I know that I need. And I think it's also because I've become more discerning. You know, I know more about what I need. So,
yeah, you know more about what you need. Yeah.
This may not apply, you know, to you, Christy. I don't know. But anyway, I just thought I'd report from one person's point of view.
Well, I kind of got an idea, Chris. Oh, sorry, but kind of got an idea, Christy, when Mariah was talking. I mean, if you haven't done it before, why not do it as like a $27 offer? Really, you know, lean, powerful, short content. Test it, see what happens. And then you can always, if you don't get enough people into the membership through that, do a free webinar after, maybe, you know, because it's all just experimentation, right? And I know we make it in our head like, oh, what way should I do it? And it's like, kind of just pick exactly. one and do it, right? It's
like, you know, I always say in my
class, yeah.
It's an experiment, and I swear to God, I'm going to make t-shirts for everybody. All business is an experiment. Everything you try, it's an experiment. That's true. Anyway, Christy, go ahead.
Plus, with the $27, you'll get, you know that you get buyers versus a million new people in your list that want your free thing that don't ever, you know, do anything.
That's true. And that's, I was, as soon as you were talking, Mariah, I had been, that was my price point. I had been considering, I'm like, maybe I just do a $27 course, because people don't think twice about that. At least I don't. Mm-hmm. And it's up to them how they go through it. But Elaine, I like the idea of kind of testing it. And then I could do a live webinar. And maybe that would be my kickstart launch to get into membership if I'm not. So yeah, I think those, that's what I need to look at, because I feel like I already would have the free opt-in for all those hundreds of people that won't do anything anyway, but at least I'll get them on my list. This would be one more step of qualifying people. And then I could take the people who opt by the $27 course and offer them maybe a special webinar or whatever, if I feel people aren't joining the membership. So that actually feels pretty good to me.
Plus you have the $27 product. So if you did the webinar and offered the membership, you could then downsell the $27 product, you know, after your enrollment closes or whatever, to the people that came to the membership. And they might be like, oh, I couldn't afford $100 a month, but I'm going to get this $27 thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you can work it different ways once you have it.
Yeah.
You know, just FYI, I've been listening to, or I bought the book Chillpreneur by Denise Duffield Thomas. And I know, Elaine, you had commented on that you love her, and she actually responded back to me. It was funny. She talks so much about this, and a lot of what you talk about too, Sue, is, you know, what energy do you feel? Like, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just sit with it and you decide. You can shape it, change it, do whatever you want as you go, but don't feel you have to do a certain model. Test things out, let it be natural to you, because people you're going to attract, and that's what I'm starting to understand, people I'm going to attract will want what I have regardless, and the people who don't want it. Like, I think I get so wrapped up in trying to be all things to all people, like, oh, I want to provide something for everybody. And so I think that's also the doubt I've been having, but the learning curve is, it's okay, I might have a smaller niche, but they're going to be really wanting what I have because they can't find it anywhere else.
Yeah, I think that we all have doubt about that whole thing of how do we niche and how do we call to the people who we are really energetically aligned to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I pay, as you know, more and more attention to that as the years go on. Mm-hmm. But I've sort of always been that way. I mean, I've sort of always watched the energy of things. It is daunting, and it does give you doubt when you say to yourself more and more and more as you become more expert in what you do, I just don't want to fool with that anymore. I don't want to fool with that kind of person. I don't want to fool with, you know, this, or this. And sometimes I almost feel like it's harsh, but I also know that I do my best work when people are comfortable discussing these types of topics.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're not really wanting to just stay at the surface, because you don't grow from the surface, mm-hmm. you grow from the under places. And certainly, Christy, what it is that you're offering, that is an under place. That is kind of an under energy. You know, you're looking for that deep place in people, and you're wanting to help them become aware and conscious and bolster that and use it purposefully in their life. So don't doubt that. I mean, I think, and I have seen some people be like too much way over here on the other end of the spectrum. It's all a continuum, but somewhere you'll fall on that continuum, and you will be calling to the people who are You're looking for seekers. You're looking for pathwalkers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And while you know that many, many, many people in the world need that, the truth of the matter is you're looking for about 10%. There's not that many people who are seekers and pathfinders. And especially when people have been, their energies have been forced more down the energy into the root of survival, which we all have been pushed down. You know, very few of us are up here at this top level anymore. Mm-hmm. So it'll take a while for people to come back around for that. But there are some people now who are hungry for it, and that's your audience. That makes sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I appreciate all the conversations we have here, Sue, and all of you ladies, because I think there's not enough of that. And I think we've, as women entrepreneurs, especially, I wonder if we've tried to just be this perfect entrepreneur for far too long, and there is no such thing. And we get ourselves so wound up in trying to figure out the right thing. I don't know. So that's what I think I've been holding myself back on, but I do feel a breakthrough, and I feel like I'm so close now. So I just have to throw it out there and just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, I mean, I agree. I like, Elaine, what you had to say, like put it out there for $27 and see what you get, because those people, here's the deal. You're either going to squeeze at the beginning or you're going to squeeze in the middle. The people who are willing to pay the 27 are, you're going to have a higher conversion rate to your membership site.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so do you want the higher convert? Do you want to squeeze them at the front and pre-qualify them and get a higher conversion rate? Or do you want to have a mass and then have to squeeze at the end and try to bridge that gap from 0 to 100?
That's right. A great point.
I also wonder, like, I wonder how the, you know how it used to be like 33% of people that sign up for a webinar come live. I wonder what that is now. I like me, I keep signing up for this stuff and I don't even go if, you know, at all.
10% sure.
It's got to be higher, right? Yeah. So that's another, I think, check mark in like the pre-qualifying with the low cost, program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, for many reasons, I sign up for a lot of different things and I'm almost never available when they're offering it. And so, you know, I either want the, and a lot of times I don't want to spend the time because I'd rather see the replay and go through it quickly and try to figure out what it is that I'm interested in, or even if I'm interested enough in it to listen to the whole thing anyway. So yeah, I think that's true. If you've got skin in the game, if I've paid for something, I'm more likely to attend it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think too, and there's a balance right now, because it's what Mariah was saying too, like when you're going through the content, I don't have time for fluff and BS anymore. Yeah. So you, but it's a balance because you still have to tell your story, right? And you, so I think maybe like working on that messaging so that it's really tight and concise, but powerful could probably, you know, that might help the conversion rate too, because, you know, you get something and it's like the first 5 pages are garbage. It's like, I'm just going to scroll away and not even finish reading it by then because I'm tired of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Part of that for you, Elaine, as with all of us, is we're very well versed in the online world and we see the structure of webinars and we see how it is that we want kind of to be cut to the chase, because we're quick decision makers, yes or no, that it's something that we're attracted to. And Christy will be working with people who perhaps aren't that well versed, but still, nevertheless, you know, you want to, in your $27 thing, if that's the way you decide to do it, you know, you want to engage emotionally right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And then later on, when they need a little break in the emotionality, you know, you can take 2.5 minutes to tell a little bit about yourself, and then you go right back into the emotional stuff. You've got to keep that connection. We buy on emotion. We don't buy on logic, and have to keep that emotional connection going, especially when it's a personal growth type of thing. People need a lot of reassurance about that because they have doubt. they'll come to your webinar for $27 and they'll be doubting, do I belong here? Can I really do this? Is it going to be hard? Is it going to be scary? Am I really willing to challenge myself enough to change? All of those things are going to be running through their minds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And I want to use the words I loved when you said seekers and pathfinders. I think the emotional piece and using the right words is important. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of similar to that 10-minute thing you shared, that Facebook ad video strategy, Facebook Live strategy, you know, where he gave the, you know, so it's kind of like a little longer version of that, but you're right. You really have to deal with why they're there, reassure them, talk to their pain point, do all of that. And then the small introduction, I think they'll get to know me as I teach. And so I don't want to spend 30 minutes talking about myself. And I was on a webinar 2 weeks ago. I swear to God, this woman spent 30 minutes just telling people how to use their Zoom buttons. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I was literally banging my head because I knew she would have good content and she did, but it wasn't worth it to me. I'm like, I'm never going on another one again. I might listen to one later and skip through the first 30 minutes. But if someone now doesn't know how to use Zoom after 18 months of everybody being on Zoom, I'm just like, oh, good Lord. But yeah, so get to the point, but be very tight with my messaging, Elaine. I agree with that. So I think I have a good feeling how that would work. So I'm actually excited now to maybe redo that a little bit.
Oh, good. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see the offer and the copy. I'll look forward to that for sure. Going back for just a minute to this thing about the summits and the, you know, what Dan Kennedy calls the shock and awe packages, right? That's the old term. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Lately, though, that model is coming back again, I've noticed.
I've been asked,
I don't know why.
I don't either. I've been asked in the past 2 or 3 weeks to be a part of, like, I think 7 of those. And I have turned them, every single solitary one, down. I'm happy to be interviewed, but I'm, you know, I did an interview the other day for a guy and that was fun to do, but it was real. They feel more real to me. But these big shock and awe packages, I mean, the BC stack just ended and years ago I used to do that. And he called me and he's like, well, you haven't done it in 2 years. And I'm like, you know, my people just don't want that. They don't want 120 different documents on their hard drive, wondering which one is of value to them. They're just beyond that. They don't want it. And I'm going to be very, very careful. I mean, I might do a few of them, but, and the other thing that's going around, Elaine, have you run into this? I've had 2 people approach me about being a part of a giveaway like this coming fall. And they charge like $127 to participate and you're giving them a product. And I'm like, under what rock do you think I live? I'm not doing that.
I have seen people charge a small fee, but not anywhere near that, because it does cost a lot of money on the back end to put it together. And that just helps under, you know, like maybe $37 or something like that. And I gave people like an option to be featured on the top for $37, I think. And then that helped me pay the VA that was doing all that back end stuff. Wow. But $127 is a lot.
Yeah.
And even those, I'm surprised, like, those are just, you know, like you said, I don't want all that crap. I've got all that crap on my hard drive already that I don't even look at from years past, you know?
Right.
So.
I know. I mean, it is a model, and I guess people, now I talked to somebody yesterday who did participate in the BC stack. She had a giveaway in it. And so I was like, you know, so tell me, like, did it work? Because I was sitting here going, I know it didn't work. Oh, she added 700 people to her list. And for a moment, I was like, well, son of a bitch, I guess I should have done that. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. Are those 700 people actually qualified leads for her? Or are they just the freebie tire kickers? And how much money will she make off those 700?
That was my thought, exactly. Because sometimes you get this hyped up big summit and, you know, thousands of people sign up just to sign up because, I don't know, they're desperate or something. I don't know that that's qualified. So to me, I don't think it's worth it still.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it kind of cuts both ways. I was like, well, gosh, but I mean, she'll work it. She has them segmented into a list and she'll continue to do follow-on marketing. So she probably will convert some of them, but I don't know. It's just, I don't even care if it does work. It right now for me, it's not my model. I want to go much more personal and deeper and much more intimately than that. But that doesn't, I can't sit here and say that that's not a viable model, because it is. People are adding people to their email list through it. I just proved that yesterday. So I have to watch my words, because one day it might be the thing for you. One day it might be the thing for me. But for right now, it feels icky to me, and I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I, for a second I was like, oh, maybe I should go get my bizswagbag.com URL again, because I changed, because I did that, you guys, in the past. And then I changed it to event swag bag or something like that. But I don't know, it almost feels to me like, if we step back and take a bigger look, bigger picture, is it like people are clinging to these old marketing models because they don't know, we don't know what's next. Like, you know, we're in the messy middle, right? Of this is how it was. And now everybody is through this pandemic and thinking about things differently, but what, how do we do it? And, you know, so I don't know.
Well, and somebody like BC Stack, I mean, this is their seventh year. So there would be no reason at all for them to lose their momentum entirely and stop.
Right.
When, and you know, I think they had a really good year. But I also know that they're trying to find out how people are responding, because I actually did buy the Stack at the last minute, but I wasn't, I had thought I wasn't going to. And so he sent out a message, Dan Morris, I think is his name. He sent out a message to people who, like, within the last 2 days before the deadline had not purchased the Stack. And I had purchased it once before, so maybe that put me in another segment, you know, those who have purchased and didn't re-up. Anyway, he sent me a message that seemed very personal. Would you just tell me why you decided not to purchase this year? You know, so I wrote him back a note, which was saying some of the things that you just said and that we're all saying. And so he's, you know, they are rethinking what they're going to do. But I think you're, you know, I think that you're really right, Elaine, that, you know, it's not, lots of people, even people that are well established, don't know what's coming.
It's like we're sick of the old way, but we don't know what we're doing yet.
But let me just say, this is primo opportunity. When there's the disruption in the market, that's what opportunity is. Couple of things about, I've known Dan for years. Dan, I used to, he has consulted with me before. I know him, and he's a brilliant marketer. But like, he was even having people buy the BC Stack next year for $27 now.
Yeah.
Kind of pig in a poke. What the hell? You don't know what's going to be in there next year, and if it's going to, or even if you're going to, where you're going to be. You could be on the moon next year, the way life is going. I don't know. I don't get that at all. But he is a good marketer, and that is now his main livelihood. He's quit doing all the other things he used to do, and they live off of that BC Stack.
Great.
So I can't say it doesn't work. It does work. For him, it's a viable model, and I give him credit for that. But now, let's go back to the disruption in the market and the opportunity.
Let's do that.
We all should be talking about and teaching and thriving on, here's how to make the massive Zoom online virtual internet market not feel like you're a lost soul with all this crap coming down on your hard drive. We know how to make it personal, how to make it feel, how to pull you in and make it a wonderful crafted experience. All of us should be talking about that, because all four of us, plus Sandy, who's not here, and Patrice, if she ever comes back, and Nadine, all of us have those skills. We are the ones who are defining what the new model will be. And that's exciting. Opportunity is always where disruption lies, always.
That's good, Sue.
Yeah, I like thinking about it like that. Like, oh, like, yeah, we could be the ones that are defining it.
Come on in here. You know, it's what I try to say about CEO Circle. Like, come on in here. This is where the real stuff is. And if you're in it, to win it, if you're in it for the long term, if you're a circusy person, you're not going to belong here, you know. But if you really are in it for the long term and you want the meat, this is where you come. And so each of us in our own way can say that, because we know how to make it personal. And we know how to, you know, Christy, you know how to reach out through video because you have those skills and just that personality to say, you know, you're a pathfinder, you're seeking, and the last year and a half have kind of had you all like this. And, you know, here's where we start now to find ourselves again. How do you want your life to be now from this point forward? Which we have that opportunity every day, but we all think about it right now in terms of pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, because it kind of did a number on our brains. It did.
I can't imagine a better conclusion to this conversation. I don't know if this is the conclusion. I don't even know how long these talks are. If they're 60 or 90. But that was amazing. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Talk about contributing to a big vision. You know, I love that. I just felt my whole brain expand. That was good.
Yeah. And you can, Mariah, you'll be able, think about what we've talked about today, and you'll be able to see how you'll feel less doubtful about your ability to reach out in a new way.
It immediately changed. It's changed. I feel so changed by this conversation. I really do. It was good. Like you started me on a path, and then this last few moments, you just blew the door open. So
good. That's good.
I totally understand that. I get what you said. I relate to what you said. That's exciting to me. I kind of know about how to go about doing that. Yeah, good. I can relate to that so well. Thank you.
Good. So our next meeting is going to be a while, because this is a long month. It's not going to be till the 14th of July. So if you need anything between now and then, you know, you can post on the forum, and you also, of course, can always call me or send me an email. And I'm around, not going anywhere between now and the next time we see each other. I'm going to be yet another year older, which so other than my birthday day, I'll be around. So I will talk to you, each of you, whenever you need me, just holler. And I'll see you in the forum. And I'll see you in July.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Sue.
Bye.